Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast, and I hope you're doing great as we are cruising towards the end of August, and that is really hard to believe, right? But soon it will be fall, which in my opinion is the very best season, even though no, I do not have fall in Hawaii. Just enjoy it for me. Those of you who are already starting to feel those fall vibes in the air, oh my goodness, when we lived in the Pacific Northwest, that was my favorite. I remember my husband would just get sad because he's a summer guy and he did not want summer to end. And I'd be like, yes, bring on fall. So wherever you are, hope you're doing great. And I'm really excited about today's conversation. Leslie Nunnery and I are having a little parenting pep talk. We want to encourage you guys. Whether you have kids in school, whether you homeschool, whatever your situation is, we just want to remind you of your high calling as a parent and how God plans to use you in your kids' lives. I think you're going to be super encouraged by what Leslie shares, so I can't wait to dive into the conversation. I do want to pause real quick to thank you all so much for your response last week to the Well-Rounded Homeschooler episode and my brand new course that just opened up. So many of you said yes to the course, and I am so encouraged. Also, just a reminder, if you don't homeschool, we are getting a lot of feedback that this course is really helpful for any parent that wants to be intentional about raising well-rounded kids. So though we talk about homeschooling in the course, the word comes up plenty, I say, you're all homeschoolers. Even if you send your kids to a traditional school, there's a whole lot of schooling that goes on in between the school days, weekends, mornings, nights, all summer long. We are all raising and educating our kids in one way or another. So you are welcome in that course. And yes, there will be another link to the course over in show notes, along with links to everything else that Leslie and I talk about. And you will find show notes today at monicaswanson.com/Leslie-Nunnery. And that's N-U-N-N-E-R. Okay, so can't wait for this conversation. I'll have a few final words to say at the end, but I hope you're encouraged. Leslie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I've just loved getting to know you over the past, really, probably as we record, about less than 6 months even.
Yeah.
But I have always had so much respect for Teach Them Diligently and Leslie Nunnery. And so what an honor and a privilege to get to talk to you. You've been such an encouragement and so supportive of me as my homeschool book came out. And today, I think what we're going to talk about will be a huge encouragement to the listeners. So I'm like edge of my seat, excited. Before we dive in, why don't you give a quick introduction for those who don't know you?
Okay, I would love to. I am Leslie Nunnery. My husband David and I started a ministry called Teach Them Diligently. We produce events for missional homeschool parents. And then we also, as the Lord has kind of grown us and grown the organization, we have books, we have a membership site, we have a podcast, we have resources all year long because we realized just spending 2.5 days with the families we were serving just wasn't nearly enough. So now God has opened the door for us to serve families all year long, and we're very, very grateful for the opportunities and the doors that he's opened.
I love that. Can you tell us a little bit about your family and even like where you live, all that?
I would love to. I live in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm sure you'll hear signs of that as I talk. We are in the deep South here, but I do work alongside my husband David, but we also have four children. I have two sons, followed by two daughters. Two of my kids are married. Three have already graduated from high school. My baby is a rising senior. So we are about to fully transition into a brand new season of life. And as much as I feared it, it has been so much fun making this transition. Oh, so good. I highly recommend having adult kids. Oh, it's super fun.
Yes, I'm on the same page completely. I am loving it, even though there's some bittersweet moments of like, the house is a little quieter, but I love that. And a rising senior, so you're really on the brink of
The brink.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, today we are going to have a parenting pep talk that is absolutely suited for every parent out there. And though I do want to hear, if you don't mind sharing a little bit more background about yourself, sure. I want to hear a little bit about what started you on your homeschool journey.
Actually, that story is what started Teach Them Diligently, what started, you know, really everything that we've done, because when our kids were, I think my oldest son was in third grade. They were in a great Christian school, just had no concerns whatsoever. It was a really good situation. But God just was impressing on our heart that our time with our children was short. And if we were going to give them a faith that sticks and really, really give them a solid foundation for their own faith that would carry them forward, we had to spend more time with them and we had to maximize the moments that we did. So we started homeschooling for discipleship, not having any idea that that little step of obedience was exactly what God was going to use to open other doors for us down the road. But it was, we started homeschooling exclusively for discipleship. We had a great academic situation, a great school situation. And, so yeah, our story is pretty narrow in that. We just wanted to go for our kids' hearts.
Wow. Okay. So I love that. And that's a great launching pad to what we want to talk about today, because before we hit record, you said something that really, I think is important. And so maybe I'll just have you repeat that about homeschooling. As I said, you know, I've got some homeschoolers who listen to the podcast, but I've also got a whole lot who don't. And so talk to us about the heart behind what you just shared, really what got you started homeschooling and all you do.
Yeah, I would love to. We were talking before we got on about just how we reach the families that are tuning in. And Monica was saying that, you know, she's a homeschool mom, but she's really started out talking to parents and specifically parents of boys. And we're kind of on the other side of that. We have a homeschool organization, but we talk so much about parenting because we view homeschooling as, yes, it's a wonderful mode of education. It gives you so much time. And I could go on and on about the beauty of homeschooling, but ultimately homeschooling is a tool for your greater calling, which is to disciple your children, to bring them to Jesus and give them a foundation for their own faith. So we want to reach parents with the message that whether you homeschool or not, you still are on a mission to go for your children's hearts. You are called, we call it heart schooling. You are called to be a heart schooler no matter what form of education you use. So that is really how we try to position homeschooling. Homeschooling is a tool. It's not your ultimate call as a parent.
Right. I love that so much. And I guess we didn't mention, as you're talking about all your tools, two books that I have been diving into in the last year is your book, Teach Them Diligently, the name of your ministry, and then also your book called Heart School, How Amazing Parents Become Excellent Home Educators. And one of the many places I highlighted, you wrote this. You said, there simply is no more fulfilling or amazing job in this world than being a parent. And the incredible thing is that you, whether by birth or by choice, you are the very parent your child needs because God created you and He makes no mistakes. And I love that so much. And I think that's really what I've had on my heart for this conversation today as parents prepare for a new school year, whatever that looks like. It's kind of like when you really need, you know, my son just went away and helped with a youth group camp. And I think when you just need that, kids need to be re-energized in their faith or a marriage retreat. And I'm like, before the school year, what if we all took a moment, took a deep breath? Summer's probably been busy. We all get like worked up, getting ready for school, all the school supplies and all that. What if we just pause and go, wait a minute, what is my calling? What is my God-given calling? And how is that going to look this school year as God has called me to be the parent of my kids? And that just gets me really excited.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's the greatest job anybody could ever have. Mm-hmm. It's I've written and spoken a lot about, you know, our job description. They don't hand you a baby and a job description at the same time. It's a little bit bigger than going on a piece of paper, but as a parent, you get to love your children in a way that is so big and so unnatural that in the New Testament, we're told that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to do it. Yes. I mean, this is a really impactful kind of love. And as a mom and as a dad, you get to lavish that upon your children. And just to kind of park there for a second, when your kids know how much they're loved, it changes everything in their life. It gives them so much stability. It pushes them forward in even academic ways, all these ways, because they are emotionally stable. Yes. I mean, you have so much power as a parent just by loving your kids. So that's when you get to teach them and train them. You're the one who started teaching them from the beginning, and you're the one who's going to be teaching them even when they're adults and they call you asking about a sourdough starter or something.
Right?
You still are the one who is getting to teach them.
Yes.
And it's such an amazing privilege. But I think that so many people, so many believers, and this just grieves me, buy into the lie of the world where we look at families as, you know, mom and dad are kind of behind the times, or they're not really smart, or, you know, most sitcom TV parents, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with. They're terrible.
Right.
But we aren't called to be that way. Mm-hmm. We are called to build relationships with our kids, love them deeply, train them, teach them, stand in the gap for them, give them boundaries. All of these things we get to do, and it is an amazing job. But if you don't look at it as such, you're gonna find yourself going off course a lot. You really have to put down anchor in what is true so that you can parent your children well.
Oh, that's so solid. That's so important. Mm-hmm. And I think of, you know, you probably also receive a lot of emails and messages. And I think of how many parents will either say, like, literally yesterday, the words were, "I'm trembling with the thought of homeschooling my kindergartner." And I was like, no one better. Or the parents who are just anticipating the teenage years and they're just fearful as parents, wherever their kids go to school. But you and I will say, no, God has placed you in their lives as their parent for a reason. You have everything you need in your relationship with God to give them what they need the most. So that's huge. And it's a perspective shift.
Oh, it absolutely is. And you've got to recognize the calling that God has given you, first and foremost. You've got to recognize that elevated role that He's given you in the life of your child. And there is so much research that backs up why parental involvement and why parental love is so important in the life of a child.
Yes.
Even, and I love this as a homeschooler, because there's research that was put out by the University of Madison, Wisconsin, that, and they were looking not at a homeschool context, but they were looking at public schools, brick and mortar schools, and they found that the number one predictor of a child's academic success is the engagement and involvement of their parents in their learning. So whether you're educating your children at home or not, your engagement with them on what they're learning is going to make all the difference in how well they do academically, socially, emotionally, and more.
Oh, that is so huge. I love that so much. And I think that gives everyone a lot of hope. Like, there are things you can do, even if you're not in the classroom volunteering, just being intentionally involved in what they're learning and having the conversations at home. I love that. And you also say in chapter 2 of Heart School, you say that you are fortunate to become a mom before the messaging of the world became as downgrading to my role as it is today. And you just touched on that. But I think it's really important, because I think sometimes the subtle messages of our culture seep into our own thoughts without us realizing it. Like, none of us are signing up to agree with that, but it's easy to kind of buy into it without realizing it, just because it's everywhere around us, right? So,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions for how people can reframe? Like, what are some steps people can take?
Yeah. Well, and it's not just, I gave a really big example, those sitcom families. That's a big example,
right.
But we see it even in Instagram. We see it, you know, oh, just the drudgery of momness. The I can't wait to shift my kids off to school again. I read that stuff and I'm thinking, you know, your kids can see this. This is public. People know that you're saying this. And so that kind of thing, I think we want to be very, very careful of. Because if we are buying into this, oh, I'm so exhausted, I'm so, this is such drudgery, I'm so bored, whatever, that is going to impact our children at every stage, whether we actually recognize it or not. So we want to be very, very careful. You know, the Bible talks about taking our thoughts captive and bringing those thoughts into obedience based on what we know to be true, what we know to be true about God. We're told to think on things that are true and honest and just and lovely and of good report. And that is a discipline that really requires you, like I mentioned before, to recognize what your calling really is. Your calling, the most impact you will ever be able to make in the life of another human being is within the four walls of your home. You have so much time. You have 18 plus years to invest in that one person. You're not going to get another discipleship arrangement like that.
Never.
This is a high, wonderful calling. It should be life-giving and exciting and invigorating. And so it concerns me when people do buy into a lot of these little subtle lies. And we may even think they're funny.
We're just
joking around. And that's but they take root. Those little subtleties. You kind of start leaning into those when you chew on them long enough. And so just bringing your thoughts captive, rehearsing what you know to be true. Really, I would encourage everyone to just get in God's word and see what it says about the role of a parent. There's amazing things in there about the role of a parent that should excite you. And and just the fact that you get to do this. And again, you quoted the whether by birth or by choice. And that's something that I really believe so deeply in, because I've talked to so many who their family has been built by choice. They've adopted, they've brought foster kids in, they've adopted in another way. And when times get really, really difficult, that's hard to remember too, that God built your family. You are the perfect mama or daddy for that child. Because he doesn't make any mistakes. So that one that you can't understand, I had one of those where I couldn't understand him at all. He was like, he was so veiled to me. He was so different than me. But he just called me on his way home from work, actually after we started recording. I had to send him to voicemail. But the Lord has redeemed that situation.
And
has just through prayer and through actually through a Bible project that I do for my kids that I would love to tell everybody about. But through doing that, I got so much insight into that one child that we're so close now. And he's married and his wife and I are close. And it's just amazing how God does grow you when you continue to seek his face and bring your thoughts into captivity and do day by day those faithful, that just the next faithful thing that he's calling you to do within your home.
Okay. I love it. I love that. And I love that you shared the example of your own son, because it reminds me of another conversation I was having with someone about siblings and sibling squabbles and all that. And I was saying, and I think the same thing applies to our relationship with our kids, that if we have young kids who are fighting, not getting along, if we solve that by separating them, sending them out to different places all the time just because you want peace, you're really robbing them of the opportunity to grow, to develop the friendships, to bond, to learn conflict resolution. And I think same with parents. If we're like, I don't get him, I don't get her, we're just butting heads. If we solve that by saying, you know what, this one's just one I'm not going to connect with, we're going to miss out on what you now have, which is a relationship that will last a lifetime, that is so valuable. So pressing into that and saying, let's work through this. Let's get to know that kid. Maybe you're never going to fully understand them, but you can appreciate and grow together as you are invested in their life. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I will never be, I won't think like that particular child ever.
Right.
He is a very different individual, and that's okay, because now first of all, I'm no longer fighting to get him in the way that I thought I should. Like for years, I was so hard on myself because how could I not get my own son? How could I not understand him? Well, it's okay. He's a different individual. Mm-hmm. But the project that I alluded to, I have written, I call them legacy Bibles for each of my children. So I'll read through the Bible with one child in mind for about, I give myself a year and a half to 2 years, and I just write the entire time. So I write notes to them, or I'll expound on things or tell them stories of ways that I learned things or things that they may trip over or whatever.
Do you write this in the Bible? Right in the margins.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So I get a journaling Bible. I actually, Tricia Goyer and I just published a book on that too.
Okay.
I just write, and I write and write and write and write and write, and I pray every day as I approach God's word. I'm praying for that specific child. Well, the most amazing thing happened between when he was 14 and when he got his Bible when he was 16. Going through God's word and praying for insight into the heart of that one child, God answered that just like he's answered so many other prayers.
Wow.
And the depth of relationship that forged with us was just amazing. And I did it for all of my other children. And it was amazing how every single Bible was completely different, which after I did the first one, I was like, oh, these will probably all be the same. You know, I mean, what am I going to say? There's only one me, right? I'm the same person writing. But no, mm-mm. God had different things for each child, just like every child is different. So, the way that God worked through that in that case in particular was just stunning. And I find it so hope-filled for those of you who may struggle to connect with one of your kids. Get in God's word and read it for that one, because you'll be amazed at how God opens your eyes.
That is so awesome. Okay, somebody, and probably a few somebodies out there, want to know, you mentioned a book with Tricia Goyer. It's specifically on what you're sharing right now?
Yeah, it's called How to Create a Legacy Bible. And we both, she does them a little differently than I do. So we both tell how we do it. We go through why. We go all the reasons that you think you can't do it. We're going to tell you why you can.
Okay.
And then we put about 12 or 15 devotionals just to get you started. So with prompts and, you know, ways to write in different passages of scripture just to get those juices flowing.
Okay. Well, I'm not only going to order that when we are done here, but I will link to that in show notes as well. So
perfect.
I love to all of my homeschooling friends and those of you who are becoming homeschoolers, I'm excited to tell you about the math and science curriculum that all of my boys have used and loved. Head over to diveintomath.com to check out Shorman Math and Dive Science curriculums. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours, and he does such a great job of offering a biblical and historical foundation in all of his classes, teaching the why of learning math. He brings biblical concepts into everything, and my boys have been inspired by Dr. Shorman on so many levels. Now, the diveintomath.com website offers self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself. Also, important to note, Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Guys, this is what your kids need to prepare for all of these standardized tests. Okay, so my boys love that Dr. Shorman taught short lessons, and it was a four-day school week, and yet he packed in so much. They learned a ton, and it was efficient, so they could get on with doing all the other fun stuff they want to do. All right, so head over to diveintomath.com. Check out the math and science curriculums offered there. I think you're going to love them. Okay, so are there any specific scriptures that you have kind of clung to throughout all your years of parenting, or maybe you would recommend somebody who isn't super seasoned in reading God's word that you would say, start with a few of these verses?
Okay, all right. So the first passage that comes to mind is the Deuteronomy 6 passage where, you know, our entire ministry is based off of.
Yes.
Moses, I think this is so cool. So after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses is giving his farewell speech. He's telling the children of Israel they're about to go in. And as he's giving them their plans for taking over the promised land and setting up this entirely new civilization, he doesn't first talk to the religious leaders about setting up the Church of Jerusalem. He doesn't talk to the military leaders. He addresses parents first. He says, parents, teach your children diligently. Pass down your faith. Teach them to love God and with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach them to fear God and draw near to Him. And so he goes through all of these things for parents because your role is so important. Then you're going to see that woven through all of Scripture. But then I want you to get to the New Testament where you find that, first of all, I believe it's in Peter. We're told that Scripture has everything that we need for life and God. There are answers for every question that you have. And so years ago, and I think you've got a whole podcast on this, I started praying Scripture for my kids. And what I was amazed by was how praying a Scripture for my children directed the way that I parented them every single day. And so as you come across something and you're like, I want to see this in my child's life, I'm going to pray this for my child, God is going to give you some amazing ideas for actually incorporating that and pushing them in that direction. And, you know, I want you to pay attention to how he's working on that because I really was down the road probably 10 or 15 years in my parenting before I actually woke up and I was like, wow, all this amazing stuff that I'm seeing happen is direct answers to these Scripture prayers that I was praying. And then I see how God just gave me these ideas that seemed so insignificant at the time, but he used them so magnificently. So as you're praying Scripture, allow God to give you those ideas. And then the third place that I would direct you is to actually the feeding of the 5,000. David talks a lot about the feeding of the 5,000. And what's so interesting in that, and what I really want you to see is when Jesus multiplied that little gift, that the little two loaves or five loaves and two fishes that the little boy had, He could have just, you know, made it rain down from heaven. He could have just zapped it and it was there. But he chose to hand that to the disciples for them to go out and feed. God delights to use his people and he delights to use you as a parent to invest in your children, to feed them, to whet their appetite for the things that they're going to hunger for forever. That's what that train, what a child in the way they should go. That train has the idea of whetting their appetite. So he wants to use you. That's an amazing thing.
It is.
That was a lot of verses, but
that's good.
That was a big question. It's what I like to talk about.
I love that. And I will put show notes with those different references. But I think it's so much fun and it really just brings Scripture to life. And I think of the difference when I pray, you know, I love my kids so much, but how often my prayer is, Lord, please be with, with Josiah, keep Jonah safe.
Protect him.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, there's Scripture I could pray that would be much more powerful and effective simply because I'm praying the Word of God. And it really does bring so much more meaning and just really, I think just makes our prayers so much richer. So I love that so much. And I think too, just kind of circling back to this role we have as parents, just the power of our prayers. And as we pray, then it's on our minds. And then we're speaking to our kids different than we would be if we weren't. And I think that that whole speaking life, giving them Scriptures, letting them know, you know, sometimes I'll just jot down what I'm praying to my kids, shoot it in a text message. And I really believe that empowers our kids to also hold on to God's Word. Even if they are not telling you they are, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and it allows you to share authentically what you're learning, what God is teaching you, and your kids are going to pick up on that. That's going to be very rich and meaningful for them. Again, even if they don't pretend like it is at the time, they are paying attention. You know, David and I tell people all the time, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. So as you are doing life with your kids, you want to make sure that you're living in a way that you would like to see reproduced in them. And that you're just doing it naturally. Discipleship is a very natural thing. Just should be an overflow of what God's doing in your own heart.
Absolutely. And that's a theme that comes up in all of my books, and I know in yours too, but it's easy to forget that really kids are going to become more like us than whatever we tell them to do. And again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it's so important for people to recognize that this is an all-day, everyday thing. And kids are picking up on subtle things that we're doing and saying. And so if anything, the best way to parent well is to, you know, look at your own heart and your own walk with God and just live that Absolutely. Out. It's so good. Funny, my grown son in California sent me an Instagram reel the other day, and it was, I think it was a clip from when Superman was taking off, like getting all down, hunkered down, and then he takes off. And it said something like, how I feel when I know my mom is praying for me. And I was
that's awesome.
Oh, that's when social media is redeemed, right? Like, we appreciate
that. Yeah,
those.
Exactly.
But that touched my heart, because I'm like, oh, I love that he knows, like, that his mom's praying for him. Okay, so let's just shift slightly on the same topic about teaching kids God's word. Any tools, tips, or advice on how we can get God's word into our kids' hearts?
So one of the first verses that I prayed, started praying when I was praying scripture for my kids, is that they would come to know God's word. Mm-hmm. And that's a verse in Timothy, that you would know God's word. And so as time went on, I started just sharing what I was learning in my devotions every morning at breakfast. While they were really, really little, I started doing this. And it was, you know, age appropriate. I wasn't giving them a theology lesson or anything like that, but I would share with them, and I would explain what God was teaching me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as time passed, they started wanting to do their own devotions. And sometimes it was a coloring sheet. Sometimes they would have a little, devotional book or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as time kept progressing, they were building this habit of getting in God's word every day and then talking about it. And this is what, as I, you know, with the value of hindsight, I look back and I see my kids lived with us. The only people that they ever saw first thing in the morning was David and myself. And they saw us getting up and getting in God's word every morning and talking about it. Mm-hmm. So to them, that's just what Christians did. That wasn't a weird thing. Yeah. That's what Christians do. And so we had the opportunity to kind of set that as a standard. We didn't even know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We were just obeying what God told us to do, which is getting God's word.
Yep.
And we were reproducing that in our kids without even being smart enough to recognize it.
I love
it. So that is really, I think, the simplest and the most powerful way to get your kids in scripture is just talk about what you're learning and engage with them.
Yes.
Give them the opportunity to talk as well. My kids, because they are, you know, horrible sinners and can manipulate situations and all this stuff. There were times when our table talk would go for hours and hours because they had so much to say.
Yes.
They were killing time, didn't want to really get to school.
Right.
But other times it was a legitimate, we could talk for so long. And now that my kids are all grown, they are so fluent in talking about things of the Lord. It comes so easily and so naturally to them with anybody, older, younger, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that I didn't realize we were doing.
Yeah.
We were making them so comfortable talking about things of the Lord just because we did it so much within our home. And so most of the things that you can do that will have the biggest impact on your children are not huge things. Mm-hmm, they're really, really small things that may seem completely insignificant at the time, but in the hands of a good, awesome, powerful God, they become really big things that he can use.
Oh, that's so true and so good. I love that so much, because I too am in a season where my boys come home to visit, and I just look at the conversation around our dinner table and I kind of giggle, because I'm like, it almost always ends up something about what somebody's reading in the Bible, and then they're all in and discussing it. And I'm like, where did this start? Well, it started when they were young. This is just the stuff we talk about. And I think the key here is this isn't something you can fake. You can't say we're doing weekly devotions, we're going to church, we're doing something because we have to. It has to be a natural overflow of what's legitimately going on in your life. And for anyone out there who's not spending time in God's word, it's not too late. You still can create that habit. Mm-hmm. You can tonight at dinner bring up one verse that you are trying to learn and start this conversation. It's never too late, but it really does have to be authentic, because kids can sniff out a fake.
So, and 100%.
And I think that's the beauty of Deuteronomy, is it is, you know, as you walk along the street, it's not on Sundays. It's not Thursday night.
Right.
It's all day, every day. And I think especially maybe if you're newer to God's word, then all the more to talk about it and be like, look what I'm learning. Like, share your excitement, because it's going to be contagious, right?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And the other, I'm sure you've seen this too, the other table conversation, at least around our table when they're all there, is all the stuff that I never knew happened that did happen. And they're like, now just, it's like there's truth serum. They're just telling me all this stuff that they did. Right. And I'm like, how did you all live through childhood?
Right? Oh, it's hilarious.
But it's so fun. And they have such a tight relationship. And they are giggling together and remembering things. And it is just a beautiful cap on a life lived together. And so I want to encourage those who are kind of in the weeds right now, you're going to get there too. And that really, that just kind of to double back to something you said a minute ago, that comes down to not separating them when they're struggling to like each other.
Yeah.
Rather help them learn to like each other even more, because you're building these friendships that are going to last them a lifetime.
Right. And somebody out there is encouraged by the fact that your kids can look back and laugh about the things that happened, because they're probably facing some things. I know you listening who have younger kids, there's probably things that seem like the biggest deal. And I promise we will tell you, you're going to laugh about it one day. It's probably not the biggest deal.
Not in the moment necessarily.
No. but there's usually a new perspective that comes later. Well, this is all super encouraging. And I just love your heart. And just my husband also read Teach Them Diligently and was super encouraged by that. And so I'll be sure to link to the books and all the things that you're doing online. Why don't you give one more quick recap on some of the things you have available to people even right now online? Tell us where we can go to find out more.
Okay, I would love to. At Teach Them Diligently, we have a podcast, just the Teach Them Diligently podcast, where we talk about biblical parenting and excellent home education. So that's kind of the focus of our podcast. We have a number of books. We have the Teach Them Diligently book, the Heart School book, How to Create a Legacy Bible. My husband has done a 40-day Thanksgiving journal that is a phenomenal guided journal through the Psalms, learning about biblical Thanksgiving and how that will transform your life. Mm-hmm. So you can find that on there. We have a membership community. So if you're a homeschool mom and you're looking for really iron sharpens iron relationships and on-demand access, we've got like 3,500 recordings in there from Teach Them Diligently event. So if you have a question, the answer is in Teach Them Diligently 365. And then we have a Heart School Parenting Intensive that is coming up. We'll be starting in September. And that is where David and I will work one-on-one and in a group setting with families for about 9 months, just in a slow drip, help you get really things set up in your family in a heart schooling type way, where you're focused on discipleship, no matter what mode of education you're using. So really kind of training in discipleship with families individually. But all of that is on our website, which is just teachthemdiligently.net.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot and good stuff.
I know.
Really important. No, this is so, so valuable. And I'm so grateful for the ministry you have built and your obedience to what God's called you to do. So thank you. Any final word of wisdom or encouragement you'd like to leave people with today?
No, I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be able to talk to moms and dads out there who are listening in. And I just hope that if you get nothing else from this, you will walk away recognizing that you have a really high, amazing calling with your children, and you have a God who will equip you to do it well if you just seek His face.
Wow. Perfect. I love that. Thank you so much, Leslie. What a joy to talk to you. I'm always encouraged. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that conversation and you feel fired up and ready to parent with excellence this fall as we all begin this new season. It's back to school and fall and getting busy as we head into the holidays. Speaking of which, I've got so much good stuff coming up here on the podcast in the weeks and months ahead. Next week, we're going to be talking about prayer. Brooke McLaughlin, who has been one of the most downloaded episodes on this podcast, is coming back to talk to us about praying for our kids, getting really practical, so much encouragement there. Praying as we go back to the school year, I think you're going to really love that episode. And then in September, I have something totally different, and I think you're going to love it.
but I'm going to wait and announce it next week. So once again, find show notes with links to everything we talked about over at monicaswanson.com/Leslie-nunnery. There will also be a link there to my brand new well-rounded homeschooler course, and it is still at a very discounted rate as I am trying to honor and bless all the homeschool parents who are a little extra stretched this time of year, but eventually that price will go up. So grab it quick because then you'll have lifetime access to everything in the course and everything I add over time. And I'm always loving to add more to my courses. Okay, friends, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.